Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
The TalkSport Daily Podcast is proud to be in partnership with Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Whether your business needs cars, vans, or larger commercial vehicles, you can rent from the best lineup in the UK with Enterprise. And with flexible long-term rental, you can get vehicles for as long as you need them, from minutes to months. Whatever the mission, Enterprise's mobility experts can build a bespoke solution to suit your business needs. Visit enterprise.co.uk/business to find out more.
This is TalkSport Daily.
Hello, happy Friday, gang, and welcome to the last Danny Goldstein TalkSport podcast of the week. Oh, it can't be. Well, it is, because it's Friday. So if you haven't worked that out, then you're stupid. Anyway, well, you don't know your days of the week, and in which case, you're still stupid. Now, we start today's podcast with the fallout from the evening's Premier League action, where Spurs beat Fulham, just. Struggling West Brom lost at home to Everton. And Liverpool lost at home to Chelsea. Yeah, they did. Remain impartial. Okay. Anyway, here's how it all unfolded and sounded on Andy Goldstein's Sports Bar. That's my show, Monday to Thursday from 10 p.m. This was last night's show.
That's the final whistle. Liverpool 0, Chelsea 1. Liverpool had never lost 5 consecutive league games at home ever. They have now. It's March the 4th and they've still not won at Anfield in 2021.
Jurgen Klopp, who is the leader of Liverpool Football Club, he isn't doing his job properly at this particular time. And like players go through dips in form, I think Jurgen Klopp is probably going through the biggest dip in form in his managerial career.
Jurgen Klopp continues to search in vain for an answer to his team's woes.
There's no other way, and I think that we all agree in that, with then fighting through this period. So it's not that you can now get out and hope that it will be click, 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 and free in front of the goal, empty goal, bam, 1-0, and exactly the same for the next one. We have to fight through it, and we will do that. I have nothing really smart to say to explain it. But in the moment, it feels really harsh.
Their first shot on target coming on 84 minutes, and they've now gone more than 10 hours since their last goal from open play at home.
When nothing's happening for your team and you've been outplayed at Anfield, he makes no substitutions at half time. Try something different. Mo Salah's looking over, thinking, have I seen the right number there? Am I missing something?
For me, he looked just in that moment now really tired. So he played a lot of games. I understand, and I get all the criticism. You take off the top scorer and all this kind of thing. It's not an easy decision. Why should I take off Mo Salah? First time I saw him, that he in moments where it looked really that he felt the intensity, and that was the reason.
Klopp's reign is over. He's peaked. He's shot his bolt. It's over.
Is Europa League the goal? I mean, top half this year is going to be a push the way we're playing.
It's easy, you know, when you're fist pumping and you're running down. You're given all the energy and you're exuberant and brilliant. That's easy when things are going well and your team are pressing and you're overrunning teams. You've still got to give that leadership when it ain't going very well. And at the moment, you look over and he's not doing it. Even bad Liverpool teams never went and lost 5 on the trot.
I can guarantee you, if Liverpool change their backdrop to their away kit, they will perform a lot better.
Does that, Frankie, does that make them... wait a minute, Frankie, does that make them close down better when they haven't got the ball?
What percent difference would it be if Liverpool changed the colour of the...
Even if it only makes 10%. In the scheme of things, 10% is a lot.
Clubby, I feel sorry for you. How does that make you feel?
Well, you know, there's not much I can say at the moment. I'm completely, you know... I sent...
oh, no, don't. Alex, don't do that. He hates
you
that.
You shouldn't do that while a man's down.
Sorry, Clubby.
Thomas Tuchel has found the perfect formula for Chelsea. On the basis of this one, they look like Champions League material.
This was a very, very good performance. Don't know if it was the best, but we improve game by game, I have to say. And today, when we arrive at Anfield in a situation that they're 1 point behind us on the fight for the top four, we gave our best and we had a top performance. Of course, I was impressed. impressive because we got a deserved win, and I'm very happy about that.
Fulham 0, Spurs 1, but Fulham will argue long and hard about a second half equaliser that was cancelled out by VAR, and quite what football is becoming now will probably be asked to Scott Parker.
We're trying to make the game so pure and so sterile. Why? What do we want to see as fans, as spectators, is goals, is excitement? And I'm sorry to say, but VAR is killing every bit of that.
My view is not important. I don't make decisions. And of course, the rule looks that gives a space to interpretation, and you just have to accept the interpretation of the officials. Sometimes goes in your favour, sometimes goes against.
West Bromwich Albion 0, Everton 1. A gallant effort by the Baggies, who seem doomed to relegation now.
The point today would give us massive confidence and more confidence into the game. And of course, the elements are against us because our recovery time will not be long enough for us to compete like we did here tonight.
In this kind of game, it's not so easy because you have to play against teams that are fighting for relegation, and they are really, really motivated.
Now, Katie Price's ex-husband, Simon Jordan, has accused Newcastle's players of serving up Steve Bruce after his row with Matt Ritchie in training was leaked to the press. Now, the Mail revealed Ritchie was left furious with the post-match comments from Brucey, and it resulted in a bust-up with the manager. We'll hear from Jamie O'Hara, Charlie Adam, Danny Murphy, but first, the journalist who broke the story, Craig Hope.
Dubravka couldn't keep it out. A counter-attack down the right-hand side, and it's Newcastle 1, Wolves 1.
It only then becomes a big story when Steve Bruce comes out in the press subsequently in his post-match interview and blames Matt Ritchie for the concession of the goal, for not getting the instructions onto the pitch to the players.
The direction, which unfortunately Matty didn't get it on quick enough, the instructions of how we were doing it.
You sat there as a journalist thinking, wow, this is really chucking a senior player under the bus here.
When you look at the goal, you know, we should stop the cross. It was a frustration.
So Steve Bruce is basically blaming Matt Ritchie there for not passing on the instructions quick enough.
You've got to be really careful to single out people in the press. I don't really understand why managers do it. Slaughter him in a dressing room, slaughter him on, you know, on the training ground and say, you know, I'm not happy about it. Players now are quite sensitive, aren't they, with stuff like that, and feel like he's getting digged out in the press and he'll have the ump with it.
Matt Ritchie's out on the training pitch, at which point Steve Agnew, the assistant manager, is dispatched to tell Matt Ritchie, the manager, Steve Bruce, will see you in his office now. Ritchie turns around and says, no, I'm not talking to that coward ever again. This is relayed back to Steve, who I understand is angry. He then marches down on the training pitch and confronts Matt. There's a little bit, listen, punches weren't thrown, but there's a little bit of barging, there's a little bit of shoulder to shoulder, and I think it's Steve Bruce who is initiating this. Matt Ritchie didn't respond physically, and this is witnessed by absolutely stunned teammates at the time. There's then an exchange between them. Steve is unhappy about the use of the word coward and says to Matt Ritchie, after all I've done for you. And Steve Bruce says to him, what are you going to do? Go and tell Lee Charnley.
Because the problem is when you call someone a coward, who's the manager of all the players around you, you are dicing with death. You're expecting all the other players to get on your side there, where really what's happening is your ego's overtaken you and you've forgotten where you're at and where you are in the hierarchy of the club. You're a player, he's the manager. You've got a problem, you knock on his door, you go and have it out. Irrelevant or right or wrong. The problem is when you're called a coward, when you're a manager, a player, anybody who's got some self-pride, you're going to react, and Bruce reacted. I'd react if someone called me a coward and I was the manager.
Richie's not a bad egg, you know? Like, I've played with Matt at Portsmouth when he kind of was first starting out, and he's a great lad, you know, and wants to work hard. He's had a great career. I don't think he's someone who would come in to training ground and cause problems and be that type of player.
When it's played out in front of the players, I think that's a different situation. You can have the biggest row you want in the manager's office. What stays in there stays in there. But when it's in public in front of the other players, it's how the manager reacts. And if he reacts in any sort of wrong way, the lads will side by the player.
I look at this story and say, why have you got it? Not why have you written it, because you're a journalist and it's there to be written. But why have you got it?
And the club aren't happy. The club want to keep it out of the newspaper. They aren't happy at all, and they're blaming me. They think I'm a troublemaker. I'm out to derail the club on the eve of a big game. I'll say one thing here. That is absolute rubbish. If you get your own house in order, if that chain of events doesn't start with the substitution, with the criticism of the players, which then leads to the fallout in training, I'm just a journalist reporting what happens.
Who's given it to you and what's their motivation for giving it to you? Because the context of the absolute detail is so specific that in my experience of owning football clubs, the reasons why people like you have that kind of information is people within the confines of a dressing room have an agenda because maybe they're not getting what they want or maybe they're not happy with how they're being treated. So they serve people up.
And that, to me, spells disaster. When you're in a difficult period as a manager and results are not going your way, you need the dressing room.
Now, India closed on 24 for 1 after England were bowled out for just 205 on day one of the fourth test over on TalkSport 2. And Darren Goff labelled it a disastrous batting display by the tourists. We'll also hear from all-rounder Ben Stokesy-Stokes on the verbal spat he had with India's captain. But first, here's Goffey.
He's heaved this one straight down towards mid-off and straight into the hands of Mohammad Siraj. Zach Crawley's used his feet. He's trying to go over the top.
This has been disastrous. Yes, India, the best of bowled in the series for me without far, both seam and spin, but England's batting, probably the worst in the series on a pitch that's good to bat on. Win the toss, it's good to bat, and we're 189 for 9. And poor old Jimmy Anderson comes to the rescue once again, or tries to come to the rescue.
A set two out in the middle, the umpires have come together. Stokes and Kohli are having a pretty heated conversation. They've got very close to each other. There's no sense of social distancing there. Stokes is unhappy. Kohli's saying, "What's your problem, mate?" It doesn't look the sort of thing that would get to fisticuffs, but it's certainly tense. It's tense rather than unpleasant, I think, would describe it best.
A lot gets said these days when, you know, two guys seem to come to words out in the middle. Completely nothing untoward, as you would, as I'd hope that that's what was seen, because it wasn't. But yeah, that's just two blokes who care what they do, and two guys who definitely don't back down.
And for more reaction from the cricket, why don't you just try out the Following On podcast? Just do it! Anyway, you don't have to, but if you do, it's on the TalkSport app or wherever you get your podcast from. Now, have Manchester United ever managed to replace Michael Carrick? Well, let's ask a man who knows about playing in midfield in the Premier League. It's Daniel Murphy on Drive Time.
I don't think they've ever replaced Carrick. You know, that central midfielder who can do a bit of both. He can fill in the spaces, intercept, be defensively good and reliable. And also start off play, but also open you up. Someone from deeper positions, because Carrick, people don't think of him like this, but when you play against him, you know. He could have the ball on either foot, and he's not just playing through the lines, he'll play one over the top, he'll get you in. He could hurt you from anywhere on the pitch. And people forget about that, about Michael Carrick, and they never replaced him. Matic is decent, but he's not as creative as Carrick. He's not as progressive with his passing. He has the odd game where he plays a few nice balls, but Carrick would do it every week. I don't think they've replaced him.
Now, in the last edition of the podcast, you may remember that Jurgen Klopp said this about the upcoming international break. Tom, press play.
We cannot let the boys just go and then sort the situation when they come back and visit our players in a 10-day quarantine in a hotel or whatever.
Good work, Tom. So, could some players challenge their clubs if they're prevented from playing for their country? We'll hear from the Southampton boss, Ralf Hasenhüttl, in just a moment. But first, we begin with TalkSport's chief moaner, Simon Moaney Jordan.
I think Klopp is right. You muddy the water by saying we pay the players. Well, OK then, if the federations were to turn around and say we'll compensate you then for the 10 days the players aren't going to pay, would that overcome the argument? No, it wouldn't, because he's not really talking about the finances of it. He's talking about the availability of the players. The challenge that people like Jurgen Klopp will have is he will be put, and the club will be put into a position by the very people that he's asking to effectively honour their obligations and pay for their clubs are the very people that will turn around and say to him, I want to go play for my country.
You cannot think that I send any player anywhere when he has to quarantine when he is coming back. So this is absolutely nonsense. This is, forget it, definitely not. Because, I mean, that's a business travel if you want, why should I send them there? Nobody can say that he's coming back and he's 2 weeks out and cannot play for us. So this is not possible, definitely not.
It needs to be taken away from the clubs. It needs to be the Premier League say en masse, this is a decision. It's not Jurgen Klopp or John Henry saying to an individual player, you can't go, and then creating a situation where that player feels aggrieved. It's a rule. Otherwise, guaranteed you'll have individual players that will let a manager down by saying, well, I want to play for my country, it means a lot to play for my country. No, your obligation is to us, we're your paymasters.
Now, Brighton boss Graham Harry Potter and Leicester manager Brendan Ted Rogers, have both spoken to Ian Moosey Abrahams ahead of their clash rival TalkSport 2 on game day. We'll hear from the Foxes' boss on their chances of a top four finish in just a sec, but first, here's Harry on his frustration at the recent results for the Seagulls.
Danny Welbeck has hit the post. Quite remarkable what has happened here this afternoon. Two penalties missed by Brighton and Hove Albion.
Frustrating that we had probably more opportunities than the opponent in open play. And then frustrating that, yeah, like you say, we missed a couple of penalties. So I think the overall feeling was frustration, but at the same time needing to go, okay, we need to stay calm, like I said, after the game. We need to take stock. We need to remember the things that we've done well and focus on those.
I've been really proud of the players this season. You know, we've had much more to deal with in terms of our European games and of course the difficulties we've had around injuries. So what the players have done up until now, I'm very proud of. But we still have a lot of games to play and a real exciting end to the season. We just have to deal with what comes our way and look to win the next game.
And Brighton Leicester is live and exclusive on TalkSport 2 on game day. And we finish with Hawksby and Jacobs and the famous birthday spread. I don't even know what that means.
Film director and actor Ron Howard. Okay. I don't know, Paul, do you remember the time he came in for an interview and he asked us if we'd take home a TalkSport mug?
Yeah.
Oh, happy days.
That's right, yes, that's right. Yeah, that's true. That's just a lovely moment, really, just remembering people coming into the studio. He was beaming because we gave him a TalkSport mug. It's so incredible, isn't it? Available in the TalkSport shop, by the way.
What, if you want to company curl up man. One.
Yeah. He always takes mugs away from every radio interview he does. Man, that's Howard's way.
Jeff, you've been told, mate. You've been told, one show.
And that's nearly it for another podcast, you think. Let me remind you of some live and exclusive national radio commentary of some football coming your way. 12:30 is where game day begins. You can hear live comms of Burnley against Arsenal. At 2:30 is game day around the grounds with Adrian Durham. 5:30, live and exclusive national radio commentary on TalkSport of Aston Villa against Wolves. And then that theme continues over on TalkSport 2 as you can hear live commentary of Brighton against Leicester. That's it. Thanks for listening on the TalkSport app or wherever you get your podcasts from. I'll be back on Andy Goldstein's Drive Time today from 4 p.m. alongside Darren Bent. There will, of course, be another one of these Andy Goldstein TalkSport Daily podcasts out first thing Monday morning, so do what you've got to do to get it. In the meantime, have a great weekend. Be careful. Thanks for listening. And above all, be safe, everyone. Be safe.
That was a podcast from TalkSport.
The TalkSport Daily Podcast is proud to be in partnership with Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Whatever your mission, home or away, don't delay. Enterprise has the vehicle for the job. Rent from the best lineup in the UK. With over 450 branches, Enterprise has what your business needs. From compact three-door cars to spacious SUVs and people carriers to vans, they offer a large range of reliable vehicles perfect for the job. To find out more and book, visit enterprise.co.uk.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.